Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you would take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God. Congratulations, you're now members of the 114th Congress.
Many years ago, my grandfather came to this country with nothing. Nothing more than a willingness to work hard. Two generations later, his granddaughter became the first Chinese American woman elected to Congress in history. And tonight, I address the convention that will re-elect Barack Obama, the President of the United States. That's the American dream. No one ever said that achieving the American dream was easy. And it wasn't. From the moment my grandfather came here, he faced the discriminatory laws of the time. Laws that stopped Chinese Americans from becoming naturalized citizens, from voting, from owning land, and even from being hired in any corporation. But he decided to make something of himself anyway. He opened up a small Chinese restaurant. He worked night and day and day and night. He used that very expensive labor, his sons. And though there were moments when it seemed hard to make ends meet, he still supported his family. It was my grandfather's dream for his family, his children, and grandchildren that kept him working for 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, for decades. It was the American dream that kept him going to lift up our family. Today, President Obama wants to ensure that same opportunity to achieve the American dream is available for all families.
Good evening, America. Welcome to AJC Radio, where we're bringing the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, and Lisa Stewart. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good.
Doing great.
So that was the voice of Congresswoman Judy Chu. And she was speaking of her heritage. And Lamont, you know, that's something special when you can talk about the American dream and you can have your grandfather come from another nation and be subjected to racial prejudices and then you end up in Congress. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're familiar with AJC Radio, you'll know that Thursday night is Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And so the spotlight tonight, we're going to be shining the spotlight on Judy Chu. Lamont, share a little bit more about Spotlight on Capitol Hill.
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we said last week, buckle in, because the women were taking over AJC Spotlight on Capitol Hill, and tonight it's no different. Grab your flags and grab your women's rights banners, because we are championing a pioneer, if you will, on Capitol Hill, and one who is an example, Sam, as you said, Congressman Judy Chu, making a difference and an impact across the United States. And what an example, Sam, of leadership and to the young girls across the country, young ladies wanting to aspire to do something and to be something. I'll tell you what, right now, the buck stops with Congresswoman Judy Chu, and like I said, we're getting ready to take off big time here on AJC Radio.
And she's done a lot since 2009 when she was first sworn in July 2009. So we'll dive more into her background and her career on Capitol Hill here in a little bit. So as Lamont said, we're going to be coming back to that shortly. If you want to pull up some information about Judy Chu, you can do that. She is a Democrat from the state of California. Our phone number this evening is 347-838-8976, 347-838-8976. We would encourage you to call in, or if you want to jump in the chat room is open, and shoot us your comments or questions, and we'd love to hear from you. And Lisa, how about our disclaimer, please?
Okay, we just want to remind everyone that we are not attorneys and that a just cause is not provided legal advice. If you want to contact your own personal legal advisor for your Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests do not necessarily reflect that of a Just Cause. And as always, thank you for tuning in and choosing to spend some time with us this evening.
Thank you very much, Lisa. And, you know, as everyone knows, we do not have a shortage of news when it comes to justice and criminal justice and judicial reform, prison reform, sentencing reform, and everything under that whole banner. But tonight, what's in the news, Lamont? What are we going to talk about before we jump into talking about Judy Chu? Go ahead.
Well, we're looking at remembering Ferguson a year ago. We know what took place there. The death of Michael Brown in Ferguson, and the story comes today by Susan Jones from CNSnews.com. Representative Cleaver makes this statement that Ferguson a year ago was 1955. Today it is 1965. And when you think about that statement, and this is what the representative said. Cleaver, he says, I tell people that Ferguson a year ago was 1955. Today it's 1965. So there's been change. And Representative Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat from Missouri, told the MSNBC's Morning Joe on Tuesday, as the troubled city remained under a state of emergency imposed on Monday. And Sam, when you get into this, he goes further to say, I'm not able to paint a rosy picture of Ferguson. I'm saying that there have been some changes, and most of those changes were demanded by the demonstrators, the real demonstrators, not agitators and instigators. And the demonstrators, Sam, as we talked about before on this show, is why do people protest? This is what gets the attention of the American people, the American government, is folks going out there and protesting against injustice. And it's very, very sad to say that those marches and protests have continued a year later because of the injustice that is somewhat continued down there in Ferguson, Sam.
And, you know, there is a lot going on down there in Ferguson. You know, about today, there was an article, I don't know if it came out today or maybe yesterday, and, you know, it's the craziest stuff when you talk about there were heavily armed white men walking down the street. Did you guys see that? Where they were walking down the street armed to the teeth with assault rifles and supposedly there to help to defend the U.S. Constitution. Now, if there were four black men walking down the street in Ferguson,
they'd have got shot.
There you go. With assault rifles?
They make the statement, listening to a talk radio show in the car the other day, and a gentleman comes on. His name is Michael something, and I cannot remember his full name. And he said that Ferguson was doing the protests. All of Ferguson protesters were criminals and thugs that had no business being on the street. That they were just thugs and criminals and a threat to society. And the fact that the African American community has gotten it wrong, that the cop, police officer who killed and murdered Michael Brown, is unjust, is what he's saying, is that they keep using the word murder. Well, what do you call shooting a man to death unarmed? What do you call that?
That's right.
And I wanted so bad to get on the phone, and I'm calling, trying to drive, trying to get on that, on his line to have words with him, but it wasn't meant to be, apparently. And that type of rhetoric that comes, so it's okay for you to call all African Americans in Ferguson racist, criminal and thugs. But then when we point out the injustice by the white community and white officers that are slaughtering these men and young boys in the street, all of a sudden, well, we're playing the race card. But what do you call that? If a white man shoots a black man unarmed in the back or wherever he kills them, we have a right to say that.
That's right.
And to this reporter on 1300 KVOR, but on a national level, and I wish, again, I knew his name, get a clue, man. Because this is reality, and this is what keeps the fire fueling when you're talking about unrest, racial divide, racial, all type of racial divisions in this country right now, comes on the heels of comments being made like that with nothing to substantiate those type of statements. So if you want to fix the problem, you need to probably learn how to close the lower area of your face and have an opportunity to if you're going to speak, you need to speak something that's true. So that's just ridiculous to me.
I had to think about that one for a moment.
Absolutely.
So, Cliff, you know, where do we go from here? I mean, when you think about the things that's going on, and I know we got a show coming up, you know, in a couple of weeks or whatever, where we're going to revisit, you know, what's happened in the last couple of years, where are we today, and going to take a look at a lot of that kind of stuff. But as pertaining to this situation in Ferguson, where do we go from here? I know they've appointed a temporary or a guy who's come in as the sheriff, or the chief, I should say, of police there in Ferguson.
Right, and I mean, a bunch of the Ferguson officials, I mean, the people of Ferguson are still saying that they are that they're appalled that the mayor didn't resign, that he wasn't taken out with the rest of the officials that let all of this happen, that led to the fight. And also, you know, in this article that Aunt was talking about, Senator McCaskill, Claire McCaskill from Missouri, you know, she made a statement that was very profound. She says, you know, I think we are making progress, but let me be the first to say that this fabric has been torn, and we're not going to manage it. There's a criminal justice reform that has to occur. There's educational reform that has to occur. This is complicated, hard stuff, but we have to get out of this. And this is the part that is so profound, the words that she spoke. She said, it's the police versus the protesters. It's the police versus the African-American community, because that really is harmful to everything we hold dear in this country. So when you look at the perception of an entire community, is that our police is against us. It's us against them. And when they have the right to be armed, but every person in Ferguson that, you know, has their Second Amendment right, if you're a black person in Ferguson and you're walking around with a gun today, your likelihood of being shot by a law enforcement officer is at about 98%. So you have basically, law enforcement has become the military of Ferguson. And, you know, just like she said, where do we go? There has been progress, but it doesn't happen in a year unless everybody gets on board and says we have to fight this together. And that all begins where? In the voting
box. And you know what, Cliff and Lamont, I think about that kind of situation even here in Colorado where we're
right.
based, because as you both know, that we have open carry permits, right?
Right.
So you can strap on and your weapon on your side and walk into the local Walmart, and you can legally do that. Several of my neighbors walk around with their revolver on their hip.
We know what type of part of town you live in.
and it crosses my mind every now and then that if I did that, I mean, I was in line in Walmart a couple of weeks ago and was standing behind a guy who had his weapon right there on his side. And it just crossed my mind. If that was me, you know, as soon as I got ready to exit the Walmart door, there would probably be 15, you know, cop cars outside.
No
doubt. I mean, what's wrong with this picture?
Well, look, it's no secret what's allowed and what's – you have two different justice systems in this country, and they call it unequal justice. You have a law for the African-American community. You have a law not only the Latino community, for the Korean community, for the Chinese community. You have different sets of guidelines and laws that you want to, that you choose to or choose not to enforce. It is clear. We talk about racial disparities. We talk about all
Absolutely.
Of these issues. These issues fall under that umbrella. Ladies and gentlemen of America, I'll tell you right now, it's time that you wake up. Lisa, as we talk about the issues that run into the racial, you're a mother, and to the mothers out there, the fathers out there, I got to be concerned if my son goes to 7-Eleven and gets some tea and Skittles or a candy bar, will he be profiled because he's African American when he walks in the store and accused of stealing or whatever the case is? These are real issues.
Absolutely.
These are issues that parents, Lisa, as a mother, how concerning is that?
It's definitely concerning. When you have an African American child, it's something, since all this has been going on, it makes you more aware, it makes you more conscious, it makes you realize that you have to, these are discussions you have to have with your children, make sure they understand the way things are now. I guess nothing has really changed, but they're new to the world. They don't know all that's gone on. They don't know about all the racism. They don't know about all the things in civil history. They don't know all that yet. They're growing into that. So having to teach them that, it's a sad thing to actually have to teach children that you have to be careful because you could get shot because you're a black boy.
Well,
that's a sad thing.
Well, Cliff alluded to the fact that if you are carrying a weapon, your 98% chances that you're going to get shot. I got an update on that on those stats. You're about 100% guaranteed to get shot without a weapon in the United States right now, folks. This is serious business. We read all the folks in the last several months that have lost their lives. I got news for you. There were no weapons around, and they were killed. Of course, we got a university cop playing RoboCop in Ohio that decides out of his jurisdiction to stop a man who he doesn't even have jurisdiction to do because he doesn't have a front license plate on his car.
That's scary.
He belongs at the university with a flashlight. There's no business with a gun. So I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, these are serious issues, Sam, as we go into this. America needs to get, as we say every week on this program, America needs to become outraged with what's going on. And until we continue to protest, Ferguson, continue to protest, continue to do what needs to be done, your voice will never be heard unless you make some noise that they can hear you all the way on Capitol Hill. Something has to be done, and this is the only way they get the attention is to continue to protest. And I think Martin Luther King said, I heard somewhere that we have a right to protest for rights. And Sam, I think that's definitely what we're trying to do here, what the folks in Ferguson and people all over this country and communities are attempting to do.
And, you know, one thing that as we discuss this sitting here among ourselves, one thing is absolutely sure is that the Ferguson situation highlights a national problem.
Yeah.
So it's localized there in Ferguson, but it really is a national problem. And that's why there's so much outcry at this point. I mean, when you have the former Attorney General Eric Holder calling for judicial reform, you have the current Attorney General Loretta Lynch calling for judicial reform, President Obama calling for judicial reform, you have the Koch brothers calling for judicial reform. Everyone is now calling for all of the presidential candidates to address judicial reform. Basically, if something is not done, we're going to implode because, you know, it's one of those things where the pressure is not, the system and the country is not going to be able to stand under the pressure.
Well, Sam, I'll tell you this right now, as you say that, tonight, Spotlight on Capitol Hill shines the light on a young lady that the changes are going to happen on the legislative level, federally and at the state level, and Congresswoman Judy Chu is the one that is making a difference, fighting for all multiple things for the American people. And tonight, as we talk about the chaos across the nation that has lost her way, we find a light at the end of the tunnel by the name of Congressman Judy Chu, who is looking to try to make a difference and bring some change as we get ready to get to that segment, Sam, of the program.
Absolutely. So we're going to go to a quick break here, and then when we come back, we're going to start to ramp up on that discussion. This is AJC Radio, bringing the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart. Reminder to our loyal listeners and to those who may be new to the program, this is Thursday night Spotlight on Capitol Hill. As Lamont said, we're going to be shining the spotlight on Congresswoman Judy Chu.
Come on now, Sam.
Gosh, I knew I was going to say that that way again. Our phone number is 347-838-8976. 347-838-8976. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this message.
I stand
for equality.
I stand for individuality.
I stand for peace.
I stand for diversity.
I stand for dignity.
I stand for respect.
I stand.
Picture this, a 75-year-old man convicted of murder waiting for his trial to finally go through. He's been on death row for 25 years now and finds out he's been wrongfully convicted and is completely innocent. Not only does this mean that 25 years of his life have been spent in jail for no reason, but that the actual murderer could still be out there right now. The bad thing is that this exact thing happens more often than you think, but you can help stop it by supporting our campaign to abolish the death penalty.
Equality.
I stand for individuality.
I stand for peace.
I stand for diversity.
I stand for dignity.
I stand for respect.
I stand for fairness.
Red, yellow, black,
white.
We're all the same color.
When you turn out the lights.
Now it's time. Time to change the face of justice.
Did you know that minority and youth participation in juries is extremely low to non-existent?
The incidence of youth and minority offenders faced with trials have exploded.
Youth and minorities are not being represented as they should be.
We must represent for people to get fair trials.
If you acquire a state ID or driver's license, it allows you to register to vote.
And it allows you to become eligible for jury service.
If you're 18, a U.S. citizen with a state ID or a driver's license, and registered to vote,
you're eligible to be called for jury duty.
If called and selected, make it your duty to serve.
We can't get justice without you. Change.
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 Change the face of justice.
Check your local county or state jury service website for further details.
AJC Radio, bringing the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart, and Lamont Banks. Thanks, America, for joining us this evening. This is Thursday night, Spotlight on Capitol Hill. But before that, we have one more current event, another news article that just kind of made everyone raise their eyebrows as we looked at this one. Cliff, what are we looking at on this?
Well, from reading this, we got another issue with the VA Veteran Affairs, and this is their Health Eligibility Center and the VA Office of Analytics. And Scott Davis, who is this article comes out of the Huffington Post of today, and or not today, about a month ago, July 13th, I'm sorry. It says, leaked document, nearly one-third of 847,000 vets with pending applications for VA health care already died. And when you look at this, and Scott Davis, who's a program specialist at the VA Health Eligibility Center in Atlanta and a past whistleblower on the VA's failings, provided Huffington Post with an April 2015 report titled Analysis of Death Services, which reviews the accuracy of the VA veteran death records. And the crux of what this article says is, as of April of this year, there were 847,822 veterans listed as pending for enrollment in VA health care. So about 850,000 men and women who served our country, gave a part of their life, maybe a part of their body, definitely a part of their mind, their psyche, has been affected by going to war. And it says, of those 847,000, 238,657 are now deceased, meaning that they died after they applied for benefits in April of 2015, and now here in August, over 238,000 of them are deceased as they waited for but never got health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. And that is sickening and painful and just heart-wrenching to look at. We, you know, that our VA system, our health eligibility system for our veterans failed 238,000 of our service servicemen and women.
And Clifford also mentions here that 34,000 combat veterans were listed among those that are pending. And none of them should have even been on that list because combat veterans are guaranteed 5 years of eligibility with VA health care. So they shouldn't even be on that list. So these are men and women who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. 34,000 of them that served in the combat zone have died without receiving their benefits.
That is... And it looks. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lamont.
It looks like here that, if I'm hearing correctly, that those amount of people that have died since July of... No, that would not be July.
No,
that was actually April
of this year.
So you're talking about
four months? Yeah, 4 months, over 238,000 of them have died waiting to get health care.
And says here, that meaning they died after they applied but never got their health care.
Yeah.
They never got it.
Applied, and while they were waiting to be accepted. So
you died.
Waiting for it to be approved, they died. You're talking about veterans, people who served the United States of America. What has this country come to when we can say we can allow 250,000 of our veterans to die in 4 months waiting for health care?
When did that scandal kick off? I mean, that's been, it seems like there's more and more stuff being uncovered. That's been going on for over a year now, right? Because they had the head of the VA administration had to resign, and they put someone else in the position. That's just... That's crazy. I mean, what this thing says, 28%?
Yeah, this is. I mean, this leaves you speechless because you say, if this is what America does to its veterans, to those who gave themselves for war and put their lives on the line, and said, "I will die for my country," then what does the rest of us get? You know, if these are the same people who would serve the rest of us as a normal, everyday, common citizen who did not go to war, then, you know, how would they look at us? How are they looking at, you know, people who may be on Medicaid or children who may have to be on WIC or, you know, the elderly who are on Medicare? How are they being looked at when you can allow 250,000 veterans to slip through the cracks and not just say, okay, It'll be bad enough if these veterans would be at home sick, if they had ended up on the street or they didn't get the medication that they needed, they didn't get the proper treatment. But you're talking about these are people who died waiting for the system to serve them, a system that was put in place for them, a special system because they put their lives on the line for us.
And they gave their lives, literally. And the health conditions and all the things that are the circumstances and the consequences of going to war. And, you know, as you know, a lot of the Vietnam War era folks are you know, getting into the upper, 60, 70-year-old and 80s now. And so, and we know, you know, from the standpoint of some of the history that you read about that, that there was so much stuff going on with that from a chemical perspective that people are suffering from. And to see numbers like this, like you said, Cliff, is totally uncalled for. So if you have comments or questions about what's going on with the VA administration, you know, it's just like anything else. Get involved. You know, contact your congressman and your senator about that, because I'm sure that you know someone who is a veteran who might be subjected to some of this. All right, you guys ready to shift gears? Let's go into Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And here is, as you stated earlier, Lamont, a young lady, Congresswoman Judy Chu, and she has several initiatives that she focuses on, one of which is veterans' rights. She also looks at human rights. women's rights, civil rights. She is involved in one of the subcommittees as far as the Homeland Security is concerned. She sits on the House Judiciary Committee. So she is very active in her short tenure there on Capitol Hill. She was elected into office in a special situation in July of 2009. And Lamont, I know that you have talked to some of her people, and you know, like you said earlier, a lot of dynamic stuff going on out of the office of Congresswoman Judy Chu out of the state of California.
Well, I think, Sam, Congresswoman Judy Chu brings to the table her being the first Chinese American elected to office. She has endured racism. She has endured hardships. As on the top of the program, she talked about her father, who was not allowed to have certain rights afforded to him because of his race. During that time in the country, there were certain things congressionally set up where a lot of opportunities were not afforded him. But when you have a congresswoman like Congresswoman Chu there that has had the taste of injustice, has dealt with racial issues, and to be able to go against all of that, I think she brings to the table a true sense of caring, a true sense of empathy to folks who are dealing with these type of issues.
Absolutely.
I think it makes her passionate towards all Americans to say, look, I understand where you are. Politicians have a tendency to say that. Congresswoman Chu actually lives that. She can honestly say, I understand where you are because of what she's seen.
That's
her
right.
own family. It doesn't get any more personal than your father or your mother.
Or your grandfather.
Or your grandfather, whoever's
yep.
involved here. So
yep.
when you look at what different things that she has spoken to, different things that she has chimed in on, being part of the judiciary, and all of those things, you get a sense from this lady doing my research that this is a woman who is not going to just buckle.
Yeah, yeah. And Lamont, if I could jump in there, even just on the discussion that we were just having about the Veterans Administration, you know, and there's a comment here that that she had made regarding veterans. And she said, on the battlefield, our military pledges to leave no soldier behind. As a nation, we must make that same pledge to every veteran. And she's making specific reference to the most recent warfare that our nation has been involved in. And she says, you know, that several service members are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, and we're faced with new challenges in providing quality health care and helping new veterans transition back into the workforce and so forth. And she specifically calls out the Veterans Administration, and she says that the Veterans Administration is plagued by unconscionable reports of delays in claims processing and even willful destruction of claims. Goes right to what you were talking about, Cliff, and it says that in some cases, this has even led to the veteran's death to the tune of, what, over 200,000?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah. And she even goes further, Sam, with that she, in regards to, it looks like, a Student Veteran Academic Counseling Enhancement Act, starting the process at the student level, if you will, directs the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to make educational counseling available to students pursuing an improved program of education while using educational assistance provided through the Department of Veterans Affairs. This bill requires the Secretary to assign one educational counselor per 100 of such students in a geographical area, provide adequate opportunities for counseling to students in remote areas, further requires a student who is a veteran to receive such counseling unless the student specifically declines. I say all of that going into that particular act. She is setting the stage of what seems to be important in protecting and looking out, Sam, as you said, for veterans, her concern for veterans and her issues dealing with the military issues as well. Sam, when she goes further on the act, this is the Subcommittee on Economic Opportunity, she speaks to hazing and such conduct. Man, such conduct that we don't even know is going on in the military. You just don't know because you're not there. She is getting involved in areas that people probably would say, just leave that alone.
Right.
She's not going to leave it alone.
Right.
And I think that is what that is what is so respectable of Congresswoman Chu, because these are areas that are not easily tread upon. Because you have, just imagine the military force of the United States. You got a, and I'll just put it bluntly, you got the good old boys network a lot involved with that. And when you have somebody that steps out and challenges conduct of the military, I got to say, you got to be one courageous person to do it, but you have to be based upon principle. Congresswoman Chu is based upon the principles that got her and the principles of right and wrong and doing the right thing.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the other issues that, along with civil rights, human rights, we know that one of the rights that is always in question and is being threatened is that of the equal rights for women. And so, Lisa, as we look at that, what do you think about the initiatives that Congresswoman Chu is involved in?
Well, I think what she's working on is of great value. I don't think, no offense to any of our men in Congress, I don't think a man could do this justice because he's not going to understand as much the need for it. He's not going to understand he's not going to understand what it feels like. He's not going to understand a lot of things about how it's done and how women are treated differently. And I'm looking at what Congresswoman Chu has said about it. She's saying that though we've made progress in women's rights, we still have a ways to go before women are treated as true equals to men. Women still face discrimination in all facets of life, including paying more for health care, only making 77 cents to a dollar compared to men in many other basic rights. She's been working hard to address this very important issue, and she's supporting the Equal Rights Amendment. She's a co-sponsor of the Equal Rights Amendment. This constitutional amendment prohibits denying equal rights, to men and women. She's also pushing for fair pay. In 2009, Barack Obama signed the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act into law, and yet there's still many, many more steps that have to be taken to ensure that women get paid equal to men. And I think that is just a travesty that if just because I'm a woman, I get paid less than a man doing the exact same job.
Well, absolutely. That's utterly ridiculous, especially when you see that we're in 2015. And I'll be blunt with you. We may lose some male listeners on this one, Lisa, but you're starting to find out that on Capitol Hill, you got men and women there. Some are doing good, some aren't. But I'll tell you right now, if you cut Congressman Chu's pay as a result of her being a woman, well, guess what? There's a lot of legislation and laws and fighting that she is doing that would be nullified, and that is utterly ridiculous. And the fact that she stands for that, Lisa, and she does deal with domestic violence, which is a major issue in this country. Women that are victims of that. You have some men that are victims of domestic violence. Sam, sounds like to me Congressman Chu is digging, is walking on the unpopular ground, if you will, with the landmines.
Lamont, if you call her Congressman one more time.
Congresswoman Chu, please forgive me. Congresswoman Chu, Representative Chu, please forgive me on that. But I'll tell you right now, these are the domestic violence issue, as you know, in the last year, has been a huge problem in our country. A lot of victims, a lot of people have died as a result of domestic violence. Congressman Chu had something to say about that. Let's see what she said.
Every 9 seconds, a woman is assaulted or beaten in the United States. Every day, more than 3 American women are murdered by their husbands or boyfriends. And a staggering 1.3 million women and almost 840,000 men are physically assaulted by an intimate partner every year. For the last decade, in October, during Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I stood up with the shelters and hospitals in my district to support the women and men who escaped their abusers. Many of these victims escaped with literally only the clothes on their backs. So together, we put on a donation drive of cell phones, clothing, and personal necessities to benefit victims of abuse. This drive will be going on throughout October, and you can support the effort by donating items at Kaiser offices throughout the 32nd Congressional District in California. Together, we can and must do more to stop domestic violence. Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, Congresswoman Chu, that is heartfelt, Sam. Getting out there in the trenches with victims of domestic, this is what we elected our elected officials to do. You know, not to sit up in Washington and kick back and you know, nothing wrong with some cappuccino or some coffee. No problem there. But
at some point, you got to get to work.
You have to work.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you hear this, Sam, from Congresswoman Chu, she said she went back to California where the people elected her and said, I want to be a part of this to help protect victims of domestic violence. If that doesn't speak to the heart of America, I don't know what will. Sam, your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, when you I think that's, you know, ranks right up there with a lot of the other issues. And I think Lisa hit the nail on the head when she made the comment that sometimes a man is not going to relate to certain issues as well as a woman.
That's right.
I mean, and I hope I'm not sounding chauvinistic by making that statement that way.
If you were, I tell you, go ahead.
But, I mean, it's a fact. And so many people are so concerned with playing politics, especially at this time of the season when we are approaching a presidential election. Everyone's is playing politics, and some of the real issues, the things that are very should be of concern to all of our communities all across the nation, people are, you know, putting that on the shelf so they can, you know, slander someone else's name just to try and make themselves to look,
so
look
they
better.
Can take up all.
Yeah, so they can get in office and do nothing, you know.
And you know, you look at some of the things that Congresswoman Chu has said about, you know, equal rights, equality, civil rights, that, you know, across the board for veterans, for children, for women, for everyone. She says that when the civil liberties of any group are violated, we all suffer. We must protect the ideals of justice and equal protection under the law so that our country is one where all people are treated equal. Discrimination is still an issue in this country. Our civil rights were earned by the blood, sweat, and tears of those who came before us. I believe that all Americans deserve to have their rights protected and enforced. And history has shown time and time again that systematic discrimination against any group of Americans is a threat to the freedom of all Americans. And, you know, I couldn't put it any better. You have when you look at the entire spectrum and you say, okay, where does America stand? Like we talked about earlier dealing with Ferguson.
Yeah.
Where does America stand? The first thing that we have to do is we have to put the issue on the table. And Congresswoman Chu just lays it out. She says, hey, America has a problem with systematic discrimination. If that is the history, that is the culture of America. And until we deal with that issue, like she has, it cannot be, you know, basically torn apart. Until you put the issue on the table, we've said it many times before, you got a, you know, 1,000-pound polka dot elephant in the room, and nobody wants to acknowledge
that's right.
That, hey, there's an elephant over there with polka dots on it. Why don't we, what do we do to basically get him out of the room? And the first order of business is putting it on the table, acknowledging that it exists. So then that way we can attack it and we can tear it apart. And that's what, when you look at her record, you look at the way that she votes, you look at the things that she says, is that she puts her heart into ensuring the equality and civil rights of all Americans, especially those who are her constituents.
You know, I saw a story yesterday, and it was so touching from the standpoint, and I think, you know, along the lines of what we're talking about as far as diversity and people understanding each other as far as the races are concerned, there was this white guy, and he was talking about his family. Now, his mother got a divorce when he was like 2 or something like that. His mother married a black guy. The black guy already had some boys. This guy had like 3 other brothers. So, and then they adopted like 2 or 3 Asian kids. And so, you know, when he grew up in a family of black, white, Asian. I think there was a Latino in there who was adopted as well. He said and he made a joke about it. He said, you know, when you look at our family photo, it looks like a college a pamphlet. And he said, you know, people would look at their photo and say, yeah, I'll go to that school. Yeah. But it was their family. And he said that, you know, he heard when someone would try, not knowing what kind of family he was from, and someone would make an off-color joke, and he didn't get it because it was like, He wasn't raised that way.
Right.
Everyone should be exposed to that type of environment. It should be like that, to where if you grew up in a house, you're 30 years old now, and for the last 28 years, all you knew was that, hey, I have six black brothers, and all I know is that they are my brothers. I have a couple of Asian brothers, and I have a Latino brother, and then I got my white brothers. But they're just brothers. I don't know anything else. That's the way it needs to be. Unfortunately, it's not.
Lisa, right. And I'm sorry. Lisa, no, I was going to say, and Congresswoman Chu brings this from every aspect. She brings it from the classroom to the in military battle on the battlefield. She brings it to law enforcement. She supported the standing up against racial and supporting the end racial profiling act.
Yeah.
She supports that act, and she made a statement that says, I understand how harmful racial and ethnic profiling is to American society. She's not just about what her lineage, what her her heritage is, but she says from the Japanese internment to post 9/11 profiling of Arabs, Sikhs, Muslims, and South Asians to immigration enforcement laws like Arizona's SB 1070, profiling fundamentally damages the fabric of our society. I have been working actively to end this hurtful and ineffective practice. You lay it out.
Yeah.
You say, look, we've tried using racial profiling for the last 70, 80 years. It does not work.
That's right.
Especially in law enforcement, it does nothing. And for her to attack that and say that, I understand if this is one of the things that basically rips at the fabric of what America is about, a melting pot of people, a place where everyone came to escape oppression from the different lands they were
somewhere.
From. Yeah, we all most Americans ended up here running from oppression from somewhere. Some of us were, brought over, but today in 2015, we should be able to say, like you said earlier, Sam, I can look at a black man, a white man, a Hispanic, a Asian, a Arab, and say, this, and Pacific Islander, I don't want to leave you guys out, this is my brother. This is just another American citizen. And that's what Congresswoman Chu has said. We need to end this racial profiling because it tears at the fabric of American society as a whole.
Our phone number this evening, 347-838-8976, 347-838-8976. Some very compelling dialogue going on here. We'd love to hear from some of our listeners. Also jump in the chat room if you like, and put your questions or comments there. When you look at someone like Congresswoman Chu and look at the work that she's doing, and even the fact that how it is driving this conversation this evening, it shows that she is doing a dynamic work. Lamont.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam, right now, and I'm baffled every week on Spotlight on Capitol Hill, as we learn the passion of these Congress people and senators and the representatives that represent the country of the United States. And I'm blown away again tonight by Congresswoman Chu, who is doing some things that, again, these are the tough issues.
Yep.
When you're talking about veterans, and we're going to get into this on the other side of the break, where she said she was looking to ending veteran homelessness and
yes,
helping veterans transition back to work.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Congresswoman Chu is highly disappointed tonight as we hear the numbers over 238 veterans lost their lives because of delay.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming right back. We are spotlighting Congresswoman Judy Chu, a woman making a difference on our nation's capital. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Do you know anyone who's been sent to prison who is innocent? The United States is experiencing record numbers of exonerations in cases where people were wrongfully convicted of crimes they did not commit. If you believe that no one should be sent to prison for crimes they didn't commit, there is something that you can do today. By remembering a just cause with a monthly, annual, or one-time donation, you can help in the fight against wrongful convictions. Call a Just Cause at 855-529-4252
or visit a-justcause.com
and click the donate button.
A Just Cause is a 501c3.
Wrongful convictions are wrong.
Let's be the voice of those who can't speak from behind the wall.
I'm a mother.
I'm a father.
I'm a sister.
I'm a registered nurse. I serve my country in the United States military.
I'm your neighbor. I sit next to you at church.
And my child was
arrested.
Held in custody.
Questioned without my knowledge.
Exposed to violence.
Witnessed to rape.
Placed in solitary confinement. Unable to call or see me.
Shackled to a wall.
Beat.
Sentenced as an adult at age 15.
We felt lost.
Isolated.
Ostracized.
Misjudged.
Terrified.
And in the absence of all hope.
My child took his own life. And then I found the justice.
They gave me important resources to get through one of the most difficult times in my life.
Now I know I'm alone.
And neither are you. Now we have power.
There are approximately 2 million juvenile and juvenile adjustment system in this country.
These are the faces of those families.
If you were the family member of a child who has been in the system, or if you are someone who supports the movement and is ready to make a difference, visit the campaign youth justice at www.campaignyouthjustice.org.
History is important because it shows where you're coming from and where you're going. Type 2 diabetes is something that runs in my family, which means I'm at risk. In fact, one in three American adults are at risk of developing type 2 diabetes. And knowing this, if I do nothing, that family history becomes my family's future. And my family is too important to me for that. Take the risk factor assessment today at askgreenno.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday evening, and that means it is Spotlight on Capitol Hill right here on AJC Radio, where we're bringing the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, and Lisa Stewart. Our phone number is 347-838-8976. This evening, we are putting the spotlight on Congresswoman Judy Chu out of the state of California. Lamont.
Yeah, and Sam, as we were talking in regards to Congresswoman Chu, I've been noted that I gave a wrong number of 238 veterans that have died. 238,000 veterans have died. And Lisa, we were sharing on during the break regarding Congresswoman Chu's position on veterans. She is strong about helping those that lay their lives and risk their lives for the freedom in which we lay our heads down on our pillows at night. Lisa, go ahead from there.
Absolutely. Yeah, her concern is that so many of our service members returned from Iraq and Afghanistan are faced with the challenges of being provided quality health care and helping new veterans transition back into the workforce. These veterans should not be having to go through this. One of the things that she mentioned is that unfortunately the VA has been plagued by unconscionable reports of delays in claims processing and even willful destruction of claims. So they're actually just destroying claims of some of our veterans.
How is that?
So that they can keep from having to pay them. How do you do that after a man or a woman has given their life for this country? If you go to a war zone, you've given your life. Even if you came back, you gave your life.
Well, you'll never be the same from that.
Yeah, it's never the same. And you're destroying their claims?
Well, it speaks to the fact that Americans and people in government tend to take for granted their freedom.
Absolutely.
I don't think people understand the lives that have been lost as a result of the sacrifices made on the battlefield in this around the world for freedom. for the American people. And you know, if I was an American, if you are, rather, I am an American citizen, but if you are from America and an American citizen, you should be outraged with this type of, you know, behavior. And accountability, it goes, speaks to, Sam, again, why the scrutiny, if you will, and the pressure from Congress attacking the issues with the VA services have been what they have been, because this is one in many dilemmas that deal with the issues, I mean, dealing with our veterans. And I think what is so respectable is that Congresswoman Chu is attacking that. She is saying, yeah, we cannot have this.
And Lamont, she's saying any delay of treatment, whether through claim backlogs or waiting lists, is unacceptable. We must make sure that the Veterans Administration Hospital in every city ensures timely care, not only for the visible wounds, but for the invisible wounds.
Wow. Congresswoman Chu, you just gave us a chill with that statement. Lisa, it doesn't get, Sam, Cliff, doesn't get more real than that. She is speaking not about her home state of California. She made the clear distinction, every city.
Yes.
Every hospital in the United States needs to be adhered to this type of advice. Sam, I told the crew here to pull some flags out on Spotlight Thursday. I have yet to see them, but I'll tell you right now, folks, this is awesome stuff right here. Cliff?
No, I was just going to say, Lamont, you know, you look at the things that that Congresswoman Chu says about veterans, and I didn't do any military time. My dad did, and there are several men that I know that have. And when you're in their presence talking to them, there's always this sense of, you know, that you want to honor them for what they did for our country. You want to say, you know, how can I, you know, from buying them a cup of coffee to holding a conversation, opening the door, from just something to say,
sure,
you know what, I appreciate, you know,
sure,
it's the handshake, thank you for
that's
your
right
service.
Yeah.
You know, and I often, you know, a lot of times when we have gone to Capitol Hill, we see a lot of
sure
decorated veterans. And you know, I won't salute them because I didn't do any time. I feel like, you know, for me,
sure,
that is a sign of respect. I'll just shake their hand. But there's a chill that you get when you shake this man's hand and you know where he has been. You know that he's been on the battlefield and that he did it voluntarily to say, I want to ensure that the homeland is safe so that
wow
you and your children can walk around. And then to see what, I mean, to give them something as simple as health care. There should never be for the veterans that the funding was suspended, that, you know, somebody had to go on furlough. These are people, American citizens, who laid their lives on the line. And to see a member of Congress, like Congresswoman Judy Chu, that says, I am willing to go to bat for our veterans because they deserve it. They have given everything. Why not give your voice for the simple things that they need? Healthcare,
oh,
a job, an opportunity to say, okay, just give me an interview and let me use the skills that I learned in my military training. Let me use that to better my life while I'm out here. No veteran should ever be homeless, and Congresswoman Judy Chu addresses that and deals with it, that while on her watch, that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the same thing, Cliff, and she's talking about it doesn't make sense that we have veterans who are unable to secure employment and end up homeless after serving their country. They come back here, they can't get jobs, they can't, the training that they have does not, sometimes doesn't transition over into the civilian world, and they end up unable to get jobs. And so she's doing everything she can to support legislation and programs that seeks to reduce homelessness among our veterans by providing access to housing, employment assistance, reintegration services, and more. I mean,
wow,
you've got to do something for our veterans. You can't just leave them. I mean, they should not be struggling to find a job after returning from war.
Well, at the end of the day, Sam, Congresswoman Chu, again, we said this earlier. Lisa alluded to the fact that as a woman, but I think as a Chinese American who values the opportunities that have been afforded her,
yep,
she understands the fact that the freedom in which she operates under, those people, those soldiers, have to be protected. Because without our veterans, is freedom ever here in America? And without, you know, the battles that have been fought, Sam.
And Lamont, you know, they I was looking at some numbers here, and it says that because of the transient nature of the homeless population, HUD has a little bit of difficulty tracking exactly how many homeless veterans are on the street. But they do estimate that on any given night in this country, there are about 50,000 homeless veterans on the, you know, homeless veterans.
And that is absurd.
On any given night. You know, the other night we threw out a statistic and talked about, you know, filling up a football stadium with the number of people. I mean, most stadiums these days can hold about 100,000 folks, I think, right? And 75 to 100,000 people.
Right.
And so if you take this and say, you know, take a football stadium, and if it's half full, shoulder to shoulder, and all those people would represent
the
homeless veterans. And that's based on, I'm going to say that's a conservative estimate because of the fact that they're saying that they really don't know how to track it. And so the number, you know, you could throw a, you know, extra certain percentage on top of that. And, you know, I would venture to even say it might, you know, it might approach to double that amount.
Well, without, go ahead.
But like Lisa said, you know, whatever the number is,
sure,
if it was 10,000, that shouldn't be.
It's unacceptable. One soldier that goes to battle, as she said earlier in that quote, Cliff read, I believe, or you did, Sam, that we cannot leave a soldier behind. They didn't say a group of soldiers. And I tell you what, she doesn't stop there, Sam. A major issue in this problem as well in this country right now is the immigration issue.
Oh, man.
The immigration wanting to put people, just throw people away because they happen to be from Mexico or wherever they're from. Congresswoman Chu attacks that issue. This is a humanitarian. Is that the right word, Sam?
Yes.
This is who this is. Let's hear what she had to say about immigration.
30 years ago, Vincent Chin, a young Chinese-American engineer, was celebrating his impending wedding in Detroit, Michigan, when two unemployed auto workers started shouting at him, saying, "It is you Japanese who are taking away our jobs." They chased him down and bashed his head in with a baseball bat. Vincent's murderers were only punished with a $3,000 fine and got off without even spending a day in jail. In the meanwhile, instead of going to his wedding, Vincent's family went to his funeral. This injustice led to the emergence of a national Asian Pacific American identity and movement. This week, as chair of the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus, I will be introducing a resolution on the significance of the 30th anniversary of Vincent's death. His story remains an important reminder of why we must always combat the dangers of xenophobia and scapegoating. Thank you.
Okay, and Sam, on that issue, and that was actually the clip regarding the Asian American, Sam, who was killed but was racially profiled and brutally killed, not necessarily, not the immigration clip, but dealing with the racial profiling of Asian Americans, and she speaks to that as a result of that, she said it was racial scapegoating resulting in the death of an Asian American. It goes again to the racial divide in this country that is being somewhat ignored. And it's not just African Americans; it's Asian Americans, it's Latinos. These issues, and going to, as we get into the Latino, Sam, we'll get into the immigration issue, which I'll let you hear what Congresswoman Chu had to say about that. How tragic, but how the feeling from Congresswoman Chu on the fact, and she brought this issue up on the floor of Congress.
Yeah.
She brought it up that this is racial scapegoating that resulted in the death of a man.
Well, and I think, you know, it speaks highly of Congresswoman Chu that she went into Congress in July of 2009, and in 2011 she was elected as the chair of the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus, which advocates for the needs and concerns of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders across the nation.
Wow.
So as Cliff stated earlier, she's not just concerned with what's going on there in her constituent, with her constituency there in California, but she recognizes the fact that there are issues, you know, profiling, prejudices, whatever the situation is, it expands outside of her community. It is a national problem, and it's one of those that obviously, you know, like I said, she went into office in 2009, and within a two-year span, she's, you know, the chair of a caucus that is hitting those type of issues head on.
No, without question, Sam, and I think it leads us into the next topic, dealing, as we said moments ago, with immigration. I've heard her speak in regards to basically people, the Latino community, being thrown away by a country who they have contributed to, who they have helped, children who have suffered as a result of the immigration issue, the immigration debate, kids that are left behind. In her words, it's inhuman. It's uncaring. And it goes against everything that America is supposed to at least represent when it comes to equal rights for everybody, and not about throwing people away, and not about saying, well, you don't matter. The Latinos matter. The Asians matter. All people, all colors, no matter where you come from, matter. And that's why they journey here, because of the thought of the American dream. And then we want to debate and use politics with immigration. That is absolutely incomprehensible to me. Let's get ready to hear what Congressman Chu said about immigration.
Today, I stand here to say our immigration system is broken, and fixing it is critically important to the long-term security and prosperity of our nation. Of course, I have a much different opinion on how to fix it than some on the other side of the aisle, where they see an attack on American culture and way of life. I see a chance to strengthen our nation with a new generation of productive and active citizens. Where they see fear and paranoia, I see an opportunity to do the right thing, the humane thing, and bring 12 million immigrants out of the shadows and into society. What they don't see is the ongoing family separations, the exploitation of workers by unscrupulous employers, the true human cost of our broken immigration system. I get calls every day in my district from families who sacrificed and worked hard to put food on the table and send their children to school. Take the case of Maria, an American citizen who came into our district office last month with her two children, ages 2 and 4, crying torrents of tears. She was trying to do the right thing. Her husband was undocumented. She'd gone to Ciudad Juarez, Mexico with her husband for an appointment with an immigration official where she was petitioning for her husband to receive legal status. The immigration officer denied it, saying that there was insufficient hardship. It is now more than a year since her husband was left stranded in Ciudad Juarez. Even married to an American citizen, he is barred from reentering the country for up to 10 years because of a law passed by Congress in the 1990s. Making it tougher for undocumented immigrants to acquire legal status through marriage. In the meantime, Maria has lost her house, forced to do a short sale because she could not keep up with the mortgage payments without her husband's income. Her children wake up in the middle of the night crying for their daddy. To me, that does sound like insufficient, like sufficient hardship.
Lamont, you know, as I listened to Congresswoman Chu, and she shared in one of the earlier clips of her heritage and her grandfather coming to the United States and so forth, and as you stated and as Cliff and Lisa have talked about earlier as well, you know, she's drawing from her own personal experiences, I'm sure. You know, maybe stories that her grandparents or her parents shared with her. I can't say, you know, can't validate that, but you have to, you know, just growing up, just seeing things and hearing things. And when I look at, you know, we have the United States is notorious for repeating itself. And you would think that somewhere along the line we would get a clue. But as she was talking in that clip, I was thinking about the Immigration Act of 1924. I was just pulling that up. And, you know, that was an act where the United States tried to limit the annual number of immigrants from Japan. I mean, we're doing the same thing, just to a different group of people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's insane.
Same behavior, different race, that suffers at the hand of oppression, and
almost 100 years,
ago,
you know, about 80 years ago, we're doing the exact same thing. And then, you know, when you talk about, Cliff was talking about, you know, the camps where Japanese Americans were at some point during the war. You know, that's one of the things that gets me about the history in our nation and the lessons that they do not teach or have not taught in the schools. A lot of the Japanese Americans who were in those camps fought for this country.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of anything more? I mean, it's asinine. I mean, you fought for the country, and then I'm going to throw you in a prison camp because you don't look like me.
And the thing that really gets you is that is the part of American history that America doesn't want to deal with. America does not want to deal with slavery,
yep.
The Chinese concentration camps, doesn't want to deal. I mean, these are things that happened in America
American
soil that now they try to basically say we don't want to deal with it. But it takes people, congresspersons like Congresswoman Chu, that says, you know what, we need to expose all, just like the German concentration camps, they had to be exposed so that finally the people who their loved ones died there, that they could get closure.
Yeah.
That finally you could say, yes, this did happen to you, and now we as the world, as United Nations, have come together to say you need some type of retribution. You need to get closure for what happened to you as a people. America does not want to take that stance. It's the same way like we talked about, America doesn't want the United Nations to come into the prison system.
Yeah.
These are things that must be dealt with. And that is why Congresswoman Chu says, let's put all these things on the table. Let's deal with them and let us attack them once we expose them so that we can eradicate them from what we want America to be. We can't change American history, but the saying goes is that if you don't know your history, then you
gonna repeat it.
You're basically you're apt to repeat it.
Go ahead, Sam.
I was just going to say, you know, we've talked about Congresswoman Chu from the standpoint of not just dealing with issues there in California, but as we read, you know, some of the background of her career, that she went all the way across the nation, all the way to New York, you know, 3,000 miles plus away from where she lives and her constituency. When she found out that the New York City Police Department was spying and collecting information on Muslim Americans, she led the charge, a letter writing charge with 33 other members of Congress to have the Department of Justice investigate that situation, because it was like, why are you singling out this particular sect in the community? Now, it's just like Lisa talked about, Congresswoman Chu being a woman can address certain issues. Well, being a minority in this nation, she can address those issues as well, because like we just said, Japanese Americans, Chinese Americans, African Americans, any other label that you want to put on it that's not, quote, the majority or hasn't been traditionally the majority in this nation, people feel like they can just single you out, and it's like, okay, we're going to profile you, and we're going to do an investigation on you. We're going to collect information secretly on you, and if we want to, we're going to build a fence around your community.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam, you know, ladies and gentlemen of America, if you think that you've heard a lot in regards to Congresswoman Chu, Sam, as I look at her resume, if you will, looking at so many things, that Congresswoman Chu is looking into things for children. Her legislation involves children. Just to name a few, and we're going to talk about it on the other side of this break, Global Learning Early Education Challenge Fund Act. The Charter School Good Governance and Transparency Act.
Oh, yeah.
Linked Learning Pathways, Affording College and Career Success Act. Teen Parent Graduation and College Achievement Act.
I mean, very, very strong on the education side.
It has to be, because guess what? We said this a week ago. Our children of America are our future. Congresswoman Chu says, I will invest in that and fight that our children be the success of what the American dream means.
That's one of the ways to
awesome.
That's one of the ways to fix that school-to-prison pipeline for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, you got to have someone who cares. You got to have someone that's willing to put their signature on the paper and say, hey, here's some legislation that we need to push, and have a whole other group of other people that feel the same way. And, I mean, we've talked about how we have been so busy stripping schools of funding and school programs and education programs, and our education programs even extend, I think Lisa talked about it a moment ago, extend to veterans. It covers the gamut. I mean, and it's important.
Well, it sounds like Congressman Chu has become a construction worker building the education system of tomorrow. And it sounds like Congresswoman Chu is laying bricks for a better tomorrow in America. Ladies and gentlemen, stand by as we are right now 9:15 on the East Coast, and it's humid, but it's a quiet evening in New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, as you wrap up dinner tonight and you get the kids ready for bed because school is around the corner, we're coming back here on AJC Radio for a Patriot for Education and many other issues across America. Her name is Congresswoman Judy Chu. Spotlight on Capitol Hill. We'll be right back.
Do you know anyone who's been sent to prison who is innocent? The United States is experiencing record numbers of exonerations in cases where people were wrongly convicted of crimes that they did not commit. If you believe that no one should be sent to prison for crimes they didn't commit, there is something that you can do today. By remembering A Just Cause with a monthly, annual, or one-time donation, you can help in the fight against wrongful convictions. Call A Just Cause, toll-free, at 1-855-529-4252. Again, 1-855-529-4252. Or visit www.a-justcause.com and click the donate button. Wrongful convictions are wrong. Let's be the voice of those who can't speak from behind the wall. A Just Cause is a 501c3.
When does it stop being partly cloudy and start being partly sunny? Why is the word abbreviation so long? Are English muffins just muffins in England? Why is it called a washing line and not a drying line? Do fish get thirsty? If ghosts can walk through doors, why don't they fall through floors? Do you yawn when you sleep? If prunes are dried plums, how do they make prune juice? Why do doctors leave the room when you change? They're going to see you naked anyway. Do bald chefs wear hairnets? How much deeper would the ocean be if all the sponges were taken out? Do you believe someone who says they're a chronic liar? Why is sandwich bread square and sandwich meat round? Life's full of hard questions. Ask one more. You might just save a life.
Thursday evening right here on AJC Radio, and that means Spotlight on Capitol Hill. This evening, we are shining the spotlight on Congresswoman Judy Chu from the state of California. And Lamont, Cliff, Lisa, a lot of, a very extensive resume. And we've talked about her involvement for women's rights. We've talked about her involvement regarding veterans. We've talked about her involvement when it comes to veterans and homelessness. We've talked about, I mean, school programs to a certain extent. I know that's one of the things we're going to dive into. Now, Lamont, she was a teacher, right?
Actually, was a teacher. I mean, Sam, Lisa, Cliff, how do you get a person in Congress who has walked in circles that most Americans have the most concern about, and that is education, that is our children, that is our veterans, our American spirit. Congresswoman Chu has placed her foot in almost every place of concern by the American people that one could walk, Sam.
Absolutely.
That is amazing to me, and I had the opportunity to hear her speak in regards to a teacher's rally, if you will, and supporting and getting behind. And Sam, that goes to not forgetting where you came from. Congresswoman Chu doesn't forget. And it's not a political move to go speak. It is a heartfelt move to say, look, I am with you. And Sam, to your point earlier, when they were discriminating against a certain group of people, she flew on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
From her district.
Yeah.
And said, I want to be a part of the solution. Let's hear what she said at the teachers' rally. Amazing. Congresswoman Chu.
Good afternoon. What an honor it is to join you here at the annual American Federation of Teachers National Convention. I feel like I'm with my family. After all, I was a member of AFT for 20 years. Yep. And I spent all 20 years in the classroom. Teaching psychology at the Los Angeles Community College District, first at LA City College, then East LA College. At that time, our facilities were falling apart. The window blinds were in tatters. There was no air conditioning. Ceiling tiles were falling down on us. But you know what? We put up with it because we had to keep our eyes on the prize, teaching our students and making sure they had access to the American dream. Well, today I'm in Congress, and I was in Washington, D.C. when I heard with a heavy heart the Vergara decision. But it was with a heavier heart that I heard the reactions of my colleagues, some of them Democrats, as well as Secretary Arne Duncan. By the way, I heard that at least you are considerate enough to give Arne Duncan his due process. Well, once again, teachers have been pitted against students. Once again, the so-called solution is to blame the teacher. But then I started thinking, did you know that the Chinese word for crisis is comprised of two characters put into one, and those words are danger and opportunity? It is dangerous to undermine the very foundation of collectively bargained union rights. We must fight back on this. But in fighting back, we also have opportunity. We have the opportunity to change the perception that is out there. Rather than pitting students against teachers, we can change the message so that every American understands that teachers are part of the solution.
And, you know, Lamont, as a Chinese American in Congress, taking that type of stand on education.
Wow.
And recognizing it. And you know, I was looking at something on her website where, you know, Congresswoman Chu says that, you know, our students need research-driven innovation in our schools to increase academic achievement and turn out students who are critical thinkers not test takers. Wow. Now, you know, the fact that she's been there and she understands what that means.
Exactly.
And all you got to do is just look at some of the scandals that have come out even in some of the public schools. When you look at the fact that, you know, teachers and school administrators bonuses are tied to how well the students in the school take tests, and then which drives them to manipulate the test results and so forth, while the kids are being left behind. It's like, I like her approach. I like what she's talking about. Lisa, what do you think? I think you have a son that's getting ready to go into high school?
Yes, he's actually in high school now. He started yesterday.
Wow.
But, I think I've had to deal with that in times past, with people trying to get my son to study specifically to a test.
Yeah.
And because that, it was just that. Their bonuses and their salaries and whether or not they keep their job, it was based on whether or not their students did well on the test. So your student was going to do well on the test. If he was dumb as a box of rocks, he was going to do good on that test.
Wow.
Because that teacher was going to ensure that she kept her job.
And some people are good test takers.
And some are not.
Some are not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think what's so, you know, again, the patriotic juices, ladies and gentlemen of America, are definitely flowing. Congresswoman Chu made the point clear that when she was in the trenches, she said they didn't have air conditioning, broken blinds in the classrooms, whatever was going on, but they fought because their eyes was on the prize.
Yep.
And what is the prize? To teach and to educate
education
students, because this is, we say that it's so cliche to say, well, the children are our future. The children, and we write songs about it, but let me tell you something. Congressman Chu came up in the ranks to understand the importance of education. As we said earlier, when you're down there with no air conditioning, I believe she said it was in California. It's not actually cold out there. And you're talking about hot. And she said they dug in. And I think teachers, are not appreciated as they should be.
No, they're not. And their worth as teachers should not be dictated by whether or not their student was able to comprehend, whether or not their student was able to learn. The bottom line is, do you have a teacher who cares about the student?
Yeah.
And she sounds like she was that kind of teacher that cared about the kids themselves and ensuring that they got what they needed.
Well, yeah, Lisa, and go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Lamont.
Well, I'll tell you right now that Congresswoman Chu, to go out and to support teachers, I believe, are the stepping, are the backs that people step on on a consistent basis.
Oh, it's a thankless job.
Number one, I can tell you right now, if you're a teacher in a high school or junior high or elementary school, it's not because you have aspirations to drive a Ferrari, because 9 times out of 10, that's probably not going to happen, or have a $1 million house. You're not pulling up at school for that purpose.
Right.
In most cases, most of our teachers are pulling up because that is something they had a love for, a drive for. What stands out to me again about Congresswoman Chu, she went back. See, people don't understand that. America, listen to me very carefully. You folks in California that went to the polls, and it wasn't a cold November night when you went. But when you did get up and put on those boots, and maybe you came in tired from a hard day's work in California in 2009, and you said, I'm going to vote for somebody that can make a difference. Lisa, when you hear Congresswoman Chu, go back. And how many people don't go back?
Yeah.
Well, she said she went back to California to work with the shelters for domestic violent victims. To say, I'm going back to help teachers and to motivate teachers and say, teachers, you are somebody. Yeah. You do matter. Does it get any more patriotic than that?
It doesn't, because when you get people, once they've 99% of people, once they get to what they want, they don't look back at where they came from. They don't look back at the problems that the people they worked with years ago, where the problems they're still having, the issues they're still dealing with. They don't look back and think about that. They're looking ahead. And I mean, I believe we had a representative that the IRP 6 had spoken with, who was more concerned with the view out his window than he was about the issues of law that were being violated.
Sure.
I mean, people don't look back. They don't go back and try to do anything for those that they feel are below them or beneath them. They move forward, they step on your head, and they keep going.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, as our colleague Cliff was, you know, as a youngster, probably had his own challenges, as he shared with us before. Cliff, as you hear Congresswoman Chu being concerned about education, being concerned about the things that matter, as a youngster, she's somebody that probably would have been beneficial in your life. Your thoughts on that, Cliff?
Absolutely. I mean, some of my fondest memories of growing up is the teacher that I respected that pushed me. Because although I had a troubled childhood, you know, there was always that teacher for, you know, as long as I did stay in school. As long as there was a teacher that was there that cared, that I knew, that cared, that says, hey, you can make it, you keep pushing no matter where you come from, you know, look at where you're going. As long as that teacher was there, that I knew that was the person I could look up to, then I continued to persevere. When I, you know, when I felt like, you know, the teacher doesn't, you know, is not who I'm looking at, I started looking at coaches when I started playing ball. But then I got injured. Yeah. And I'm like, school is not worth anything to me anymore if I can't play ball. But if a teacher had been there to say, hey, you know what? It's more. It's more than, you know, playing ball. It's more than, you know, a social hour.
Sure.
Then, you know, perhaps I would have stayed in. You know, somebody prompted me to go back to school after I dropped out. But the teachers are the, you know, kind of the hallmark and the foundation of our child's life after the parent.
Sure.
Because they see the teacher more than anybody else in their life. And if they have a teacher that they know genuinely cares and believes in them as a human being, then they will continue to fight and scratch and do what it takes to get that education so that they can better their lives.
Well, I think Congresswoman Chu, Sam, is on to something, because you know what you find out? I've noticed with famous athletes or stars or celebrities, when they're being recognized at an event,
yeah,
years later, I've seen it with Michael Jordan, I've seen it with LeBron James, you know what they say? I remember my teacher. I remember Miss So-and-so.
Oh, yeah.
or so-and-so. And it lets you know one thing that alludes to what Cliff said. We as Americans, I don't think we get it. But there's a woman in Congress by the name of Congresswoman Chu who gets it. And I think that is so vitally important as we, Sam, shine the light on this young woman. Man, I am so impressed right now. I mean, it sounds like I've had a 5-hour, whatever they call those things, energy drinks. But I'll tell you right now, man, I'm pumped up. Sam, your thoughts on this impact as we have just touched the surface on Congresswoman Chu's endeavors?
Well, I think she sets the example as to when someone at the congressional level gets involved in education and recognizing. And one of the things, obviously, a passion and part of the purpose of A Just Cause and AJC Radio is to fight against injustice and to bring awareness of the critical nature and the critical condition of our prison systems, our judicial system, the criminal justice process, if you will. And, you know, we've talked many times about the school-to-prison pipeline, and a lot of the things that Congresswoman Chu has talked about cuts right to the heart of that matter. Because if you can put programs in place, regardless of what the kid's situation is, I mean, she has one there that talks about pregnancy and so forth. Well, you don't just throw that kid away. You know, the kid made a mistake, but you ensure that kid understands what they did, and then you have other kids who may have gotten involved in drugs or violence or whatever. I mean, we've talked about, you know, folks who used to fight in school all the time, get suspended and all that kind of stuff. But you learn from those lessons, but you have to have programs in place as an alternative to keep them interested. Like Cliff was saying, you know, when sports was over for him, that was kind of like, okay, that's it. You know, I'm done. And if a school does not have the funds to encourage a kid to do something else. I mean, I look at the things where Congresswoman Chu is talking about innovation and partnerships and building partnerships with industry and so forth, and helping to encourage funding so they can bring in the talented school, you know, the teachers, the psychologists, whatever, the counselors, people that can help to direct kids in the right path. I mean, I remember, and this is light years ago, but, you know, going through high school, and you had counselors that were right there for you. And like Cliff said, you know, you can all, and like you said, Lamont, you hear people all the time refer back to that particular teacher or that counselor or someone. And when you hit that second year, that sophomore year in high school or whatever, you know, you had those counselors that were on you. It's like, hey, you got to get ready for your SATs. You got to get ready for this. You got to get ready for that. Because it was almost like they were driving you as much as anybody else to say, you know, you got to go to the next level.
No, no, without question. And, you know, we were talking earlier, Lisa, you know, as far as the passion of Congresswoman Chu, even dealing with children, the school lunch program, when I was coming up, and, you know, I looked forward to going to breakfast in junior high school, having donuts and milk and all of that good stuff. And we recognize that there is a issue with poverty, hunger issues in this country. Children aren't eating. Lisa, Congresswoman Chu takes another step. Again, we talked about how many places that Congresswoman Chu's foot has been placed. Now we're dealing with her addressing kids that are hungry.
Yeah, absolutely. And what she's doing, she sponsored a bill for the National School Lunch Program Act of 2010. And what it's basically doing is ensuring that the schools, the kids that aren't able to necessarily afford the food at school, they're able to get what they need, as wow. opposed to just they come. I mean, I know I saw kids when I was in school coming in. They couldn't get breakfast in the morning.
Right.
Because they could, it cost. If you wanted to do that, there was a cost to that. And if your parents couldn't afford that, then you just didn't eat. If you didn't eat at home, you weren't going to eat there.
Wow.
And she's ensuring that, hey, okay, when you come to school, the schools that are participating in the lunch and breakfast programs, they are keeping that cost to where it can be afforded, to where the school are being able to get the money that they need to have the food there without having the lower income families having to try to pay for that food.
No, listen, and that is, you know, ladies and gentlemen, say what you want about Capitol Hill, about Congress. You know, in the last 4 weeks, Lisa, 5 weeks of spotlight on Capitol Hill, however long it's been, as we have shined the light, every week I go away with something else. And, you know, I said it earlier that Congresswoman Chu is a humanitarian, someone who is, I mean, this packet that we have here of Congresswoman Chu's endeavors, her successes, her fights, her battles, is so impressive, Sam, until, you know what, it makes you feel a little patriotic and a little American tonight as we, it's very refreshing to see and to hear that someone is not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. Congresswoman Chu is doing that. Sam, your thoughts on that?
Well, and she has been doing it for years. And so, like you said, you know, she was a teacher. She was in the city council. She was in the state assembly in California. She was served as mayor 3 times. Her husband has served as a representative in the state of California. So, you know, when it becomes a family affair.
Well, look, I mean, she knows community.
Yeah. And she's covered everything.
Everything that you can possibly imagine.
Now on the national platform.
On the national platform. And to be able to bring community to Capitol Hill in Congress, I tell you what, that's a challenge all in its own. And Congresswoman Chu has done that. And, again, going down to everything, as we said tonight, domestic violence issues, fighting about that, fighting for the military, fighting for every education and health care and reform and all of the things that matter, I'm convinced that you put enough good people on Capitol Hill, you're going to see some change happen in the United States of America. Sam?
I agree. I mean, she is definitely an asset to the state of California, and she is an asset to the United States of America. I mean, this is the type of woman representative that you can definitely say you're happy that she is in Washington, D.C. You don't get the impression, Lamont, that she is sitting up there twiddling her thumbs.
Well, no, I don't think so. And I've had the privilege, you know, in D.C. and some hearings there on Capitol Hill. We've actually sat in there and saw her in a few hearings, Lisa, along the way on our trips to the nation's capital.
Yes.
And I'm not talking someone that's sitting back taking a nap doing hearings. Congresswoman Chu is sitting there and she is engaged in conversation. And you're talking about a strong work ethic. You're talking about a woman that understands family, a congresswoman who understands the meaning of America and the freedoms in which we live by. I'll say to Congresswoman Chu, if you're listening tonight, our hats off to you. And we are grateful for the service that you've given to not only California, but to the United States of America.
And, you know, Lamont, I was looking for this one piece that we've talked about a while back. But, you know, with Congresswoman Chu's involvement in education, there is an infographic out there that talks about the cost or the benefit of you know, funding schools and funding education. The cost to our society, let's look at juvenile detention. Juvenile detention on an annual basis is $49,000. Other juvenile correction, or in Ohio, juvenile correctional facility is $123,000. And then when that kid becomes an adult, you're looking at $25,000 a year. And depending upon their sentence or how long they're in the system, the cost to society is $3.8 million. Now, let's flip that. And if you invest in a child's education and invest in their road to success, an after-school program is only going to cost you $3,800 for that kid. In the state of Ohio, based on this, at the time that it was published a few years back, Ohio State University was $19,000 a year. And then the Job Corps training program, $39,000 a year. Basically, the benefit versus cost. Benefit to society, a college graduate's lifetime contribution to our country would be $1 million. So you got someone, if you just invest a little bit of money into education, who is contributing $1 million to our society versus costing $3.8 million. Congresswoman Chu is on the right road.
Well, I'll tell you this, that she makes this statement, and then we're going to, on the other side of this break, Sam, we'll come back and finish up. Man, the spotlight is shining. I'm going to need my sunglasses on, because I'll tell you what, right now, the spotlight on Congresswoman Chu gets even brighter, and she makes this statement as we talk about the judicial issues, and I think you made the point earlier, Sam, the school-to-prison pipeline. Here's what she says. Congresswoman Chu makes this statement. She says, the most effective way to reduce juvenile crime rates is to keep our youth from ever entering the system. That's why I am an original co-sponsor of the Youth Promise Act. This legislation will shift our country away from the ineffective policies of punishment and incarceration towards ones devoted to prevention and intervention. The bill provides over $1.1 billion to reduce juvenile crime and delinquency through proven and effective preventative methods. It focuses on efforts like individual treatment plans, the hiring of more youth-oriented police officers, and partnering with local community groups who are best able to reach youths in need. With these resources, we can truly make a difference and move these at-risk youth away from gangs and crime and towards schools and jobs. It doesn't get any simpler than that. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen of America, as you get ready, as September creeps up upon us and school begins to go back into session, there is a woman in Congress by the name of Congresswoman Judy Chu who is on your side, in the side of your children. Sam, Lisa, Cliff, I tell you what, this is America at its best, and that's through Congresswoman Chu.
A lot of people can certainly learn from her. This is AJC Radio, where we're bringing the message of justice around the world, and this has been a highlight as far as Thursday night's spotlight on Capitol Hill as we take a look at Congresswoman Judy Chu. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, and Lisa Stewart. We'll be right back.
My name is Brian Banks. In 2002, I was wrongfully convicted of a crime I did not commit. I know you hear that a lot, but in my case, it's true.
The California Innocence Project is a nonprofit clinic at California Western School of Law devoted to investigating and litigating cases where innocent people may have been wrongfully convicted. My name is Justin Brooks, and I'm director of the California Innocence Project. Since 1999, we've investigated thousands of cases. Where there's strong evidence of innocence, we go to court and we free our clients. Law students and law professors work together to seek justice in these cases. Over the past 14 years, we've been able to free many innocent clients. So if you or someone you know has been falsely convicted of a crime, or if you'd like to donate to our cause, then please contact the California Innocence Project at californiainnocenceproject.org.
The California Innocence Project had my conviction reversed, gave me my life back, and helped me fulfill my dream of playing in the NFL.
Please support the California Innocence Project and help bring home victims of an imperfect justice system.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you a question? Did you know that there are over 2.4 million people behind bars in the United States? I'll ask you one more question. Were you aware that that is the highest number of people behind bars in the entire world? The United States makes up of only 5% of the world's population, but we have over 25% of the world's prison population. America prides itself on being the most advanced and progressive nation on earth. However, sadly, we are also the world's most archaic. I'm going to give you a personal invitation to get involved with the fight against mass incarceration. Take a few moments to call 1-855-529-4252. That is a just cause, and we fight for justice. Again, call a just cause today. Don't delay. Call 1-855-529-4252. It is time, and I say high time, that we take America's incarceration seriously. Won't you join us? Call today.
AJC Radio, bringing the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart. This evening, we've been putting the spotlight on Congresswoman Judy Chu, and quite a spotlight that is. I mean, she has an extensive resume, as you stated earlier, Lamont, and there are a couple of things that we didn't even touch on. We're going to quickly just kind of round things out on this segment on Congresswoman Chu. And I know, Lamont, you wanted to touch on the healthcare situation, and then we were going to briefly talk about her support of the Voting Rights Act and so forth. So, on the healthcare, you know, Lamont, we were talking during the break, and how critical it is to ensure that healthcare is available to children.
Well, yeah, and you know, going back to this patriot, Congresswoman Chu, man, I'll tell you. She needs a flag, a crown, and everything else that comes with a patriot. Says she went as far as expanding health care coverage for children. She makes the statement that it is unconscionable for health insurance to discriminate against our most vulnerable children. Unfortunately, it was a practice for health insurers to deny coverage to children if they had pre-existing conditions like asthma or diabetes. This unfair system could affect 1.1 million children in California alone. I fought hard to ensure that 100% of children would be covered regardless of their condition under the new health care reform law. I'm proud to say that insurers can no longer deny our children health care coverage. Now, every child is eligible for coverage. And when that type of action is taken, you know, you got the naysayers that want to talk about Obamacare and everything else, but that's 1.1 million children in California alone who would have been discriminated against. And now because of this law and because her efforts to fight that, those children are covered now, man. I'm telling you, it doesn't get any more American, motherly, patriot, whatever word you want to use for it, of Congresswoman Chu doing some things, man, that's impacting not only us today, but our future of tomorrow. And that's our children, Sam. That's absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, her concern for the family, you know, and the things that impact the and Cliff made mention of it earlier as far as, you know, so much is going on that is ripping at the seam, if you will, the very fabric of our nation. And she's doing things to help mend that break in the fabric. And, you know, we were talking also, Lamont, about the Voting Rights Act. And, you know, we've talked about that many times. And she and on her website, Congresswoman Chu, has made mention of how, you know, through blood, sweat, tears, fighting, that there was a lot that went into getting a Voting Rights Act. And for more than 40 years, she says here, for more than 40 years, the Voting Rights Act has been one of our best tools for combating discrimination, particularly in places with a history of discrimination. Now, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to just kind of put two and two together. And you can go to any part of the country and point to where there are issues with discrimination. And here again, Congresswoman Chu is not just looking at an Asian American issue. She's looking at the entire, you know, what constitutes America.
Well, I'll tell you right now, folks, as we wrap up with a spotlight on Capitol Hill with Congresswoman Chu, I tell you what, if it was dinner time and I was at the table tonight and I needed some American spirit, I can tell you right now, I've gone back for seconds, thirds, and fourths, and on the menu is Congresswoman Judy Chu, who is making a impact on American society. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't get better than this. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight was Congresswoman Judy Chu's night, but every week at this time, every Thursday, it's Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And from all of us at the AJC radio team and all of us here tonight, Congresswoman Chu, we salute you, we respect you, and keep up the good work. And you've made believers out of us tonight and to our listeners all across the USA.
Absolutely. So as we get ready to wrap things up, Lamont, we want to also be sure that our listeners keep the IRP6 in their prayers. And the IRP6 is one of the things that we talk about often here on the program. These six gentlemen have been subjected to wrongful conviction, have been wrongly incarcerated for the last 3 years. That's David Banks, Dave Zappolo, Kendrick Barnes, Clinton Stewart, Demetrius Harper, and Gary Walker. We ask that you go out to freetheirp6.org, freetheirp6.org, and you can find out more information about that that case and the wrongful conviction there. For archives of our program, go to ajcradio.com, also live365.com, Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, the Progressive Radio Network. And then for on-demand programming, go to the 405 Radio or iTunes, Lamont.
And as you know, there are some perpetrators of justice that are responsible for the wrongful conviction of the IRP6, the patriots who fight to keep America safe and hold the key to America's tomorrow in safety. Lisa, those that were responsible, who are they?
U.S. Attorney John Walsh, Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch, Assistant U.S. Attorney Sunita Hazra, Attorney Greg Goldberg, Federal Judge Christine Arguello, Appellate Judge Jerome Holmes, Appellate Judge Bobby Baldock, Appellate Judge Harris Hart, Federal Judge R. Brooke Jackson, Magistrate Judge Craig Schaefer, Court Reporter Darlene Martinez, FBI Agent John Smith, FBI Agent Robert Mullen, former Federal Agent John Epke, former Federal Agent Gary Hilberry, Attorney Thomas Goodread, Attorney Clifford Barnard, Attorney Thomas Richard, Attorney Robert Berger, Attorney Mitchell Baker, Attorney Boston Stanton Jr., Attorney Rick Kornfeld, Attorney Mark Garagos, and Susan Holland of ETI Professional Services.
All right, folks, those are the perpetrators of justice that are responsible for the wrongful conviction of the IRP6. Cliff?
Yes, I want to say thank you to everybody in the chat room. Thank you to for all your comments, your questions tonight. We appreciate it. I want to say thank you to our production team, K&D Productions, Captain Powell and Dustin Jackson. In the control room with the honeycomb, they're up to speed now, working all the controls. And you know it because you can hear what we have to say. Also, I want to say to the production support team, thank you for the accurate and up-to-date information that you give us so that we can pass along to our listening audience. And to the truth, we know you're out there. We appreciate it.
Oh, wow. Hey, Lamont, so each Thursday night, we want to invite folks to do what?
Join us here on Spotlight on Capitol Hill, folks. We got a humdinger coming next Thursday night, and I'll tell you, call everybody, pull out all the flags. We'll be back next week, and we'll see you then. And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, AJC Radio needs your prayers for the IRP6. Definitely pray for them, and keep them in your prayers, as Sam alluded to earlier. And tonight, we say a special good night to our spotlight lady, and that's Congresswoman Judy Chu. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to reflect on you tonight and keeping America one place better every day. Take care. Have a good night, America.
Good night, America.
Night.
Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you would take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God. Congratulations, you're now members of the 114th Congress.
Years ago, my grandfather came to this country with nothing. Nothing more than a willingness to work hard. Two generations later, his granddaughter became the first Chinese American woman elected to Congress in history. And tonight, I address the convention that will re-elect Barack Obama, the President of the United States. The American dream. No one ever said that achieving the American dream was easy. And it wasn't. From the moment my grandfather came here, he faced the discriminatory laws of the time. Laws that stopped Chinese Americans from becoming naturalized citizens, from voting, from owning land, and even from being hired in any corporation. But he decided to make something of himself anyway. He opened up a small Chinese restaurant. He worked night and day and day and night. He used that very expensive labor with his son. And though there were moments when it seemed hard to make ends meet, he still supported his family. It was my grandfather's dream for his family, his children, and grandchildren that kept him working for 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, for decades. It was the American dream that kept him going to lift up our family. Today, President Obama wants to ensure that same opportunity to achieve the American dream is available for all families.